Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, Gavin Newsom here, filling in for Todd Friel on the Rush Limbaugh program. Welcome. If you would like to send chocolate to us, you can do that at chocolate@rushlimbaugh.org.
Can you send chocolate through email?
The point is,
what are you doing? Why are you lying?
Because that's what I do. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff, would you, huh? To idea, chocolate, not so much. idea@wretched.org. I wonder if somebody's done a sermon series on the difference between people who like chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolate. They used to call that bark. With or without almond, do they still call it that?
I think so.
I'll bet that sermon series has been done.
I'm sure it has.
What type of chocolate are you? What Bible verse would they use for that? They probably go into Psalm 119 and somehow change the word honey to mean chocolate. And then they can preach the sermon series. And oh, the graphics on. And everybody comes. And when you leave, you get the chocolate of your choice. Because we're the church. I'll bet. I'm telling you, as preposterous as you can conceive of a sermon series, it's probably been done. Please send stuff, actual stuff, to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, both of my parents have committed adultery in some way.
Oh, no.
I fear that I'm condemned to the same fate and often live in fear of this. Could you please tell me about generational sins and curses and how God redeems us from them?
Yeah, you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. You can choose the footsteps of your father and mother, or you can choose to walk in righteousness. You choose. You are not bound to it. You are not locked into a system of adultery. You are not in bondage somehow because your parents did that sin. You are your own responsible human being, and you've got choices to make. And you can simply commit right now, I am going to walk the road of righteousness. The path that I choose is different from theirs. I am not going to commit the sins of my father, which incidentally, The only reason that you are somehow associated with the sins of your parents is if you commit the same ones, but you're still just responsible for yours. They're responsible for theirs. And there isn't a generational curse that puts you into that box. Now, having said that, I do think that this is merely from observation that there are sins that we can have a propensity to commit if that was the environment in which we grew up. That it's not uncommon for the child of a drunkard to become a drunkard. I can't tell you why that happens other than, you know, you imbibe, no pun intended. You drink in, oh, did it again. That you consume, oh, problematic. That you do the same things that you've been seeing your whole life. We do that all the time. We do it with the way that we fold towels, with the way that we talk. Mannerisms and gestures, you pick it up. So you need to be aware that that might be an Achilles for you, but that by no means means that you're condemned to a life of adultery because that's what your parents did. 8772. In fact, let me just encourage you. See it like this. Be the first generation. It's got to start somewhere. Let it start with you. I always found that really helpful. I don't know why, but I did personally. And because, you know, my family divorce is, let's just say it's not uncommon. And I just determined I'm just not going to do that. And we're going to have an intact family and we're going to be as godly as we can possibly be for our kids. and we're going to model something totally different. And that kind of helped pull me up. And it kind of gave me a goal and a mountain to climb. Maybe it'll be helpful for you too. Jimmy, you got anything else on this?
No.
You don't have to follow in the sinful steps of your parents. There's nothing other than being aware it could be something that you're inclined to model simply because you were baked in that environment. 877-282-2337.
So I did something, Don.
Really?
I brought up the AI machine.
Yeah.
And told it I wanted to preach a sermon series on chocolate.
Okie dokie.
And this is what it told me. This is the title of my sermon series.
Okay.
The Gospel in Every Bite. We're going to start with Psalms 34:8.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gosh. Yes, it had everything to do with chocolate.
Yeah.
All right, what's the sermon outline? I got to know.
Oh, it didn't give me that.
Oh, ask for it. Give me the sermon outline.
Will it?
Okay. Oh, dude, it'll create marketing posters for you.
Wow.
There's emails. You just tell it what to do. And by the way, I've actually had to tell AI I'd had it because I know the game that they're playing. They affirm everything. And I just had to shut it. It's like, quit telling me my questions are profound. Stop it. And it did. It just gives me the answer. Furthermore, why you have to regularly scold it. I told you, I do not want quotes that you made up. I need a source and a reference. You got to be the master of your AI machine. Why is your face wincing as you stare at your screen?
So weird. All right. So taste and see. That's the name of this sermon, the title of this sermon. Here's the theme. Experiencing, not just knowing, the goodness of God.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the introduction, is the second point is the invitation.
Well, what's the introduction? What does it have to do with chocolate?
It's the problem with secondhand sweetness is the introduction.
Give it to me. Give me everything you got.
You can describe chocolate all you want. Rich, smooth, sweet, but no amount of description can replace tasting it.
Yes. Yes. Every child gets a Hershey candy bar. Come to our church.
The world's empty flavors.
Yeah.
Counterfeit sweetness.
Yeah. You know, could a pastor use an illustration? Look, the illustration itself, it's like, okay, I agree with that. You can talk about food all day long. You can even smell food and go, but until you taste it, you don't know its goodness. And the same thing is true with God. Now, that is not an oral sensation. That's tasting him in that you listen to him. You study him. I'm going to use the word, experience him. That's tasting and seeing. Try his ways. They're always better. So can I see using an illustration like that? Like I personally wouldn't because it feels a little trite, but nothing wrong with that per se. But turning it into a sermon series and some just smashing chocolate in. All right, just for fun. All right.
Okay.
Let's test AI and see if because I was thinking we could pick something else like a hamburger sermon series. No, kumquats. Let's make it work.
Okay.
First of all, we got to figure out what a kumquat is. I'm not exactly sure. Kiwi fruit. Try a kiwi fruit sermon series.
All right.
The message will be delivered in a New Zealand voice. Oh, great. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I was married and my ex-husband cheated on me more than once. It's left me with some scars.
Yep.
How do I heal from this?
Yeah.
God's given me a desire to be in a marriage. Is it unbiblical to ask him to take this desire away?
Well, why do you want him to take it away?
She says she has trouble trusting and...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need healing. That's what you need. You need healing. And you need time, but you also need some intentionality. It's pretty easy to let yourself now be redefined by an experience or an event and then just kind of live in that because you become comfortable with that. My encouragement would be, you've recognized that these propensities are present and you don't want them. What are you going to do to work toward evicting them? And then create a plan and enlist some help from godly people and work toward healing. Because, yeah, time can make stuff just kind of go away, but it never really heals the wound. Only God's word can ultimately do that. So be intentional. Work toward it. Don't set arbitrary time limits on yourself where, okay, by this time, by the 4th of July, I am going to be ready to be married. Now, if you'd actually desire to be married, but you're lacking in trust, okay, again, let's heal from that. And then also, what might make you feel better and more confident is involve other people in the process of determining, is that a guy that I can actually trust? So that, like, there is nothing. One of the biggest losses for the Gen Z millennial generation is they don't let their parents in on some of those decisions. And yeah, sometimes parents can give rotten advice, but let them in. Let your family, let your siblings in. They're going to see stuff and observe stuff that you can't because you're all dreamy and stuff. Let them in and you'll make a better decision and it should give you more confidence. And if none of that works, I know what will. A Kiwi Fruit Sermon Series.
Man, I got it.
Next on Wretched Radio. I was afraid of that.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson, and it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, a and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, mate. Jimmy's a backslider. This is Wretched Radio. I cannot believe what you just told me. I challenged AI to write a kiwi fruit sermon series.
And it did.
And it did. And you said...
It's actually not that bad.
Yes, it is.
Well, it took something...
It has to be bad.
It took something ridiculous, which it recognizes, and it turned it into something that is not that bad. So it...
So what turned it into something not so bad?
The title is we could do without, but it the focus of the sermon series is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit.
And it's sure.
Each sermon is love, joy, peace. Each sermon is on one of the fruit of the Spirit.
So it's strawberries, bananas. Where does the kiwi fruit, which one of the fruits is that? Exactly?
I guess it was just the launching pad. The kiwi, because it doesn't mention it again.
Look, do I think that somebody is sinning if they title their sermon? What's the name of the title of this sermon series?
Inside Out.
What is it? Kiwi? What?
I don't know.
What fruit do you eat inside out? Is banana, maybe? Because it's got a peel?
Yeah, probably.
But kiwi, inside out, I don't... Titles, I think, are... Titles speak more than what they're just announcing. There's a wide variety of titles that you can apply to a sermon. And it really depends on what you're trying to say. So if you come up, and by the way, this I wouldn't make this an orthodoxy issue, but if you in every week you're coming up with that's quippy, that's funny. What are you communicating with that? Oh, that's inside. Oh, I see. Inside Out. And it's a sermon series about belly buttons or something like that. I see what are you communicating? You're trying to be clever. You're trying to be cute. You're trying to be catchy. Doesn't necessarily mean you're being sinful. I'm just saying it does say something. Verse is coming up with more of a Bible type of title. And you know what? I think that even those titles, sometimes they can be so dry or so esoteric sounding, or maybe so academic sounding. They're kind of like, meh. But there is a difference between, for instance, a sermon titled The Fruit God Wants to Produce in Your Life. That's different than Inside Out. Or just titling it The Fruit of the Spirit. Or it can even be something that is more intended to convict. Are you producing good fruit? Look, each of those, they kind of communicate, tonally, they communicate something different. So I think this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, it's about the resurrection because we're finally in Matthew chapter 28. Woohoo, we're getting to the finish line of Matthew. Although, I think I shared this, we're going to keep going with Matthew. Even though we're going to be wrapping up in 2 weeks, we're going to spend 3 weeks going back through the book of Matthew to see all of the threads in the tapestry of the beautiful image of our Savior. Oh, I'm actually looking forward to that. And so this is about promises. Last week it was proof sufficient. Okay, proof sufficient. That communicates something different than you can stake your life on this. Now, is one of them wrong or right or wrong? That's not my point. My point is there are, I think, categories of titles, and every pastor should consider which category they want to be in based on what they're trying to communicate, because titles do speak. They send a message. If you look at these groups, okay, Jimmy, ask the AI machine for 10 really catchy titles, cool, hip, relevant titles about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's just see what it comes up with it. Then we're going to ask it to come up with Bible titles for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That encourages people that the resurrection is something that they can stake their life on. And it's just, It's going to sound hip. It might be catchy. It might be relevant. Versus, it's going to seem a little bit more serious. All right, what do you got for the 10 cool, hip, relevant resurrection sermon titles?
Death didn't stand a chance.
Okay.
The morning everything changed.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't really that.
No, they're not. I'm not looking for bad.
Grave robber.
Okay, don't get that.
The stone that preached.
Okay.
The comeback no one saw coming.
Okay, there's a good example. The comeback no one saw coming. Okay, that's not wrong. I wouldn't like poke a pastor in the eye for that. But now, Jimmy, now give me the same subject, more biblical, more serious, not hip and relevant. And you just feel a difference, don't you? And you get a different, you go, okay, I think I know what this type of church is going to be about. I think I know what that sermon is going to be about, because they're just categories of titles. All right, what has the AI machine got on this one?
He is risen indeed.
Mm-hmm.
The firstborn from the dead.
Yeah.
The death of death in the death of Christ.
Yeah.
According to the scriptures.
Yep.
The living proof of a finished work.
Okay. That's different than what was one of the contemporary ones?
The king who crashed his own funeral.
Okay. Don't like that one, but you feel the difference.
Yeah.
Don't you? 877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
This is from Gabrielle. Todd, I understand that marriage is not merely a legal agreement, but rather a covenant that is an image of Christ's covenant with the church. In that light, would it be sinful to have a courthouse wedding?
No. That's what makes it legal in the government realm. What validates your marriage is God. You vow before God. You don't need the government for that. I know this sounds weird. I wish we'd actually have a bigger national church conversation about the subject of marriage and who is the one that is the power behind the officiant of the service. By the power invested in me in the state of Georgia, say what? What? He's not an officer of the state. He's a minister of the gospel. And when two individuals with witnesses make a profession, a covenant commitment to one another, in the eyes of God, they're married. And then you can run off to the courthouse. If your government affords benefits for being married, there's nothing sinful about that. But I think we need to remember, it is far more important that we remember the priority of God being the one who... He's the one who really ultimately signs the paperwork, the certificate that says, you're married, till death do you part. Recall, go back in time. You maybe take a look at your grandparents' Bible. Look at the front. It's got pages in there that we've torn out years ago. When the government got involved with marriage, not necessarily a horrible thing, I'm not sure it's their job, but in an effort to produce people who want to be married because they know it's good for the social fabric of a society, they started to offer benefits. Okay. But before that, your marriage certificate was in your Bible. It had a marriage page and it had your name. It had your spouse's name. And then it had two witnesses and they signed this date. That's it. You're married. I think we should consider going back to that and then running off to the courthouse to call it something else. our legal agreement, our tax papers. Because I think it is the church that should be the one that has the authority about marriage. Furthermore, just as a safety aside, it's going to protect you from the ongoing, never ceasing debate about marriage. And should the church perform marriages and bake the cake and all of that business, it would put an end to all of that, because we're not a member of the state. We're doing covenantal marriages here in the eyes of God, which, frankly, in my opinion, more valid than what you will do down at City Hall. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I want to start memorizing scripture. Where do I start?
Study methods. Before you just dive in, or you hear somebody like me or somebody else say, well, this is how I do it. Find out how a lot of people do it, because you learn differently than most people. there's some that are your type or what, you know, whatever your brain type is and how it processes. But there's a number of ways to memorize Bible verses. And I would suggest compile all of them and then begin the process of figuring out which one is best for you. Because the way that I do it might not work for you, and the way that you do it might not work for Jimmy, and round we go. So figure out, what are all the tips? Use the AI machine. Ask Mr. AI, what are the 20 different methods that people use to efficiently memorize Bible? But Jimmy, go ahead, type that in there really quick. To give 20, we got time, quit panicking. Your muscles aren't that sore. And when you find those methods, figure, you know what? I like doing that. I tried that one. It really worked. That's how I think you should go about the business of memorizing Bible verses. Did it pull up 20 methods?
It did.
And it's a wide variety.
It certainly used the read, write, recite method. Break it into phrases, speak it out loud, use repetition.
There you go. All of the different ways, figure out which way works best for you. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.